In December 1975, the house had been purchased by George and Kathleen Lutz. Her Lutz, who moved into it around Christmas of that year with her three young children. A year before the Lutzes bought the house, the eldest son of the previous owner murdered the six sleeping members of his family at 3:15 in the morning of November 13, 1974, with a 35 caliber rifle. On January 15, 1976, the Lutzes fled from the house, contending that they had been victimized by manifest supernatural forces. It was a case that later came to be known as the Amityville Horror. By the end of January 1976, the press had become fully aware of the Lutz family. Now, you know, we see like tips of an iceberg all of these various things, and nobody ever gestalts it together. Well, the Lord isn't going to come if he comes in 75 until the Feast of the Trumpets next fall, so we got some time. 85, I mean. By the end of January 1976, the press had become fully aware of the Lutz family's claim of a bizarre experience in the house and promptly called experts into the case. The experts brought in were Ed and Lorraine Warren. The Warrens were consulted because in professional circles they are considered to be perhaps this country's leading authorities on the subject of spirits and supernatural phenomena. Over the course of some three decades, Aaron and Lorraine Warren have investigated over 3,000 paranormal and supernatural disturbances. The question the news media had essentially wanted answered was whether there was a ghost in the house at the time. The answer the Warrens gave at the end of their three-day investigation, however, was something no one had bargained for. Indeed, their answer literally strained credulity. Yes, the Warrens disclosed at that time, in our judgment, there was a spirit that had plagued the Lutzes in that house, but they also concluded no ghost was present. What did this paradoxical statement mean? Did this imply there were other kinds of spirits than ghosts? Incredibly, the answer the Warrens gave, not incredible to me, but the author apparently, gave was yes. There are two types of spirits that are encountered in true haunting situations, the Warrens explained on March 6, 1976. One is human. The other, however, is inhuman. Now, are they talking fact or appearance? He said, oh, come on now. Well, now, the witch at Endor called up the spirit of Samuel. Remember that? And Samuel in the Bible talked. Now, you read the Bible through in 72 and 82. Oh, I believe the Bible is God's Word. You know, but most Christians don't believe it. Now, there's a real problem for you. Did that witch, that evil witch, actually command Samuel's spirit to come up and talk to Saul? Or was it an apparition masquerading as Samuel? Now, without answering that biblical question, I'm telling you that these people, Warren, are testifying to a similar kind of encounter where the apparition appears to be human, which is the encounter had by Saul as a result of the work of the witch at Endor. Hey, if you don't believe the Bible, it's okay with me. My quarrel is with those who say they do, but don't. I mean, that's plain old, simple King James. Now, what these people are saying is, doesn't make it a fact. They're saying there's human and inhuman, which means there are those apparitions that you react to them and they appear as human spirits, as the Samuel one. You're not committed to it really being Samuel. It's either Samuel or it looked like him. In fact, it's a problem I'd like to preach on when I get on demonology. Give you my opinion. But there are also apparitions that make no once they're exposed, they make no claim to being human. Like those demons called Legion, we be many in the Gadarene demoniac that when Jesus addressed them, they said, "Don't send us to the pit, the abyss, before our time." And they asked if they could go in the pigs. Everybody knows in that New Testament context, they were not human spirits. They were inhuman spirits possessing that demoniac of the Gadarenes. So don't think we're too far out now with these readings at this point. There are two types of spirit that are encountered in true haunting situations. The one is explained on March 6, 1976. One is human. No, that's exactly what Saul would say happened when Samuel was brought forth. At least he thought it was Samuel. The other, however, is inhuman. You ask them pigs, they'll tell you there's them other kind. In the Gadarene, there are two types of spirit that are encountered in true haunting situations. One is human, the other is inhuman. An inhuman spirit is something that has never walked the earth in human form. It had no human identity of its own. The Warren sobering information was not merely well-intentioned speculation, because fully 2 weeks before, Ed and Lorraine Warren had been confronted by an inhuman spirit in their own home. The visitation happened to Ed first, and that's what we started reading earlier. Ed leaned back in his chair in his office. That's where we were. Ed, you got the context now? Ed Warren's office is located in a small cottage-sized building attached to the main house by a long, enclosed passageway. Got the picture? Ed Warren's office is located in a small cottage-sized building attached to the main house by a long, enclosed passageway. As Ed sat working on preliminary details of the Amityville case that fateful February morning, when he was about to deliver his conclusions, the latch at the end of the passageway snapped open. Followed by the percussive boom of the heavy wooden door. Footsteps then started toward the office. And I'm going to tell you folks something. You can take it for whatever it's worth. God's not the author of fear, and greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. But as I have said, as I started on Atlantis, you can't believe the Bible, be true to either the Hebrew or the Christian tradition, and not accept the fact that great cataclysms have hit this earth and things have not always gone on the same way as they now are. And that the pre-flood earth was very different than the one now. I'm going to tell you something else. You can't accept the Hebraic or Christian tradition without being made aware in both the Hebraic Old Testament and New Testament frame, we're but foot soldiers in a much larger contest that's going on. When Daniel prayed and that angel came to answer Daniel's prayer, he said, "I heard your prayer 3 weeks ago, but the prince of Persia resisted me, and I needed Michael to help me." Michael's there in a holding action. "Now I'm going to go back, and when I'm done, he'll be no more. And lo, the prince of Grecia comes." He wasn't talking about the earthly prince wrestling with an angel. Good gobzagronsky. One angel killed 180,000 of Sennacherib's soldiers in one night. He was talking about the evil prince of Persia, Satan's lieutenant that ruled through that kingdom. When Isaiah and Ezekiel begin to prophesy against Tyre, they quickly pierce the human ruler to the real ruler, and they prophesy about Lucifer. Job. Everybody admires the book of Job. It's sheer nonsense. Without the appearance of Satan at the throne of God, challenging Job and being allowed to land on him. The Old Testament's full. They didn't just have an appetite for apples. Satan influenced Eve. That contest underwrites the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Paul says it succinctly. You read the opening Gospels, those general Gospels, Jesus is confronting demons everywhere he goes. Called devils, but the Greek word daimons, subordinates to the one, Diablo. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. In the book of Revelation, the horror will hit this earth when Michael finally casts Satan out of the heavenlies, and they cry with joy in heaven, he's cast down. Woe to the earth, he's limited now in his sphere. Out of the heavens. Until the set time that God turns Michael loose to do that, when Moses died, the strange enigmatic phrase in the New Testament says, Satan and Michael fought over the body of Moses. There must be some special reason for that, but Michael durst not rail on him, but said, the Lord rebuke you. Powerful personages, capable of filling that demon boy or that demon-possessed boy of the Gadarenes until he could break chains and throw him on the ground. Now, I'm not suggesting you believe in all this. I'm saying if you believe the Bible, you better wake up to the fact that we fight against principalities and powers. That's why, how stupid to make Christianity some little pattern of anemic rituals and righteous, self-righteous performances. We need help against the real enemy, and that help is promised as a deposit of God's life for favors. I mean, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The minute you get on the beam of faith, you've got war, my friend. You're on the front lines. Now, the outcome's foreordained if you keep faithing, but there are very real demon forces. Now, what I started to say, you can take it for what it's worth. Few people understand the benefit of 24-hour coverage with a satellite dish or the FM. Oh, I'll be laughed at by some. But I'd no sooner moved into Doc's pad than everybody in the house was waked up with footsteps we couldn't locate. That old house that's got a history you can't believe. I never turn my satellite dish off. I recommend in your house you keep the FM in Los Angeles going 24 hours a day. I can tell you, Satan ain't going to stay around where he has to listen to me. Now, I'm dead serious. There are forces that descend on men and women of faith. I don't create fear. I'm just telling you. That's why I would never stop wherever you are till I got myself a satellite dish. If you're in an area you can't hear the radio 24 hours a day, I'd get a dish. We haven't heard any footsteps since we have TV on 24 hours a day. I threw that in free. Ed Warren's office is located in a small cottage-sized building attached to the main house by a long enclosed passageway. There are people saying, he's too intelligent to believe that. I've been around this world. I've dealt with witch doctors. I know what a shaman can do. There are people that are educated, higher education, gone through their entire education, don't even know what shamanism is. That's a subject I'm going to cover when we really get into demonology. Ed Warren's office is located in a small cottage-sized building attached to the main house by a long enclosed passageway. As Ed sat working on preliminary details of the Amityville case that fateful February morning, the latch at the end of the passageway snapped open, followed by the percussive boom of the heavy wooden door. Footsteps then started toward the office. Ed leaned back in his chair, waiting for Lorraine to enter with a much-needed cup of coffee. "In here," Ed Warren called out. Long moments passed, however, and she did not appear. "Lorraine!" Ed called out again, but there was no reply. What he heard instead, building in the distance, was an eerie, howling wind. It was not the whistling of the wind under the eaves, but rather the menacing roar of a distant cyclone sound. Goose flesh rose on his arms. "Lorraine!" he asked forcefully. "Are you there?" But still there was no response. As the ominous, swirling sound built in power and intensity, Ed quickly thought back over the last few minutes. It then occurred to him that he had heard only 3 footsteps in the passageway, not the continuous tread of a person walking. Something was wrong. Suddenly, demonology and Genesis and the Bermuda Triangle and the Azores and the Pyramid and Stonehenge just might all be connected. Not the whole explanation, but I got to cover them all. This may finally get me into demonology. Suddenly, as the ominous, swirling sound built in power and intensity, Ed quickly thought back over the last few moments. It then occurred to him that he had heard only 3 footsteps in the passageway, not the continuous tread of a person walking. Something was wrong. Suddenly, the desk lamp dimmed. Now, apologize. He didn't think I'd keep going. Suddenly, the desk lamp dimmed to the strength of a candle flame. Then, abruptly. Now, you didn't think. How many of you didn't think I would go any further? You thought evil of me. "Lorraine," he asked forcefully, "are you still there?" But still there was no response. As the ominous, swirling sound built in power and intensity, Ed quickly thought back over the last few minutes. It then occurred to him that he had heard only 3 footsteps in the passageway, not the continuous tread of a person walking. Am I boring you?
No, sir.
Something was wrong. Suddenly, the desk lamp dimmed to the strength of a candle flame. Then, abruptly, suddenly, the desk lamp dimmed to the strength of a candle flame. Then, abruptly, Ed quickly thought back over the last few minutes. It then occurred to him that he had heard only 3 footsteps in the passageway, not the continuous tread of a person walking. Something was wrong. Suddenly, the desk lamp dimmed to the strength of a candle flame. Then, abruptly, Ed quickly thought back over the last few moments. It then occurred to him that he had heard only 3 footsteps in the passageway, not the continuous tread of a person walking. Something was wrong. Suddenly, the desk lamp dimmed to the strength of a candle flame. Then, abruptly, the temperature in the office plunged to that of a walk-in freezer. A rank, pungent smell of sulfur rose in the room. Hey, this ain't somebody being delivered from the demon of fat. I'm not vouching for this experience. I didn't see it. I'm hard head. But I am reading from a well-recognized demonologist of Catholic persuasion. And I thought I'd start there and work further along. Suspicious of the unnatural clamor, Ed Warren opened a desk drawer and withdrew a vial of holy water and a large wooden crucifix. He then got up. Now, some of you blessed Protestants, I'll make you a bet. It wouldn't surprise me. Some of you sweet little old Jews. Sweet, big and young Jews. If you were in this cottage and you heard them 3 steps, and some Catholic had accidentally left his crucifix there, just in case you were wrong, even some of that Jordan water the evangelists send you, you'd probably I prefer, frankly, to have some Jerusalem rocks on the desk to throw. I got to get that song about the preacher and the bear. Somebody find me that song. Old Phil Harris used to sing it. He went out hunting, looking for a hare. Got it? Bring that over here to me. But I got to get the tune, too. Somebody's got to find me the record or give me the music. Phil Harris's song. That's it. A preacher went out hunting. 'Twas on one Sunday morn. Of course, it was against his religion, but he took his gun along. Now, have you got the music to this? I want it. You get me the music. Yesterday's not soon enough. This is my song. He shot himself some very fine quail and one big measly hare. And on his way returning home, he met a great big grizzly bear. The bear marched out in the middle of the road, and he waltzed up to him, you see. Then he got so excited that he climbed a persimmon tree. The bear sat down on the ground while he climbed way out on a limb and cast his eyes to the God in the skies, and these words he said to him. O Lord, didn't you deliver Daniel from the lion's den? Also deliver Jonah from the belly of the whale? And then the three Hebrew children from the fiery furnace? So the good books do declare. Now, Lord, if you can't help me, for goodness sake, don't you help that bear. Now, I'm telling you, give me the music of that. That song will rival a mighty going fishing. We got it clear that you'd have probably grabbed the crucifix too that some poor Catholic friend had left there by mistake. Suspicious of the unnatural clamor, Ed Warren opened a desk drawer and withdrew a vial of holy water and a large wooden crucifix. He then got up and walked a few steps out of his office into the anteroom. As he did, there swirled out of the passageway a horrendous conical whirlwind. Pointed at the bottom, broad at the top, the thing was blacker than the natural blackness of night. Four larger than a man, the swirling black mass moved into the dimly lit room and drifted slowly to Ed's left side. Came to halt some 10 feet away. As Ed watched, it appeared to grow even denser and blacker than it was before. Indeed, within the swirl, he could see that something was beginning to take shape. An entity was beginning to manifest itself in physical form. As a demonologist, Ed Warren knew he had to act quickly to take the initiative. Ed Warren stepped forward. The moment he did, however... Now, you do remember, I'm telling you, that whatever it is in the Bermuda Triangle and the Azores, the appetite in the Azores is different than the Bermuda Triangle. You got that? Strange things both places, but the Azores, appetite's different. Remember that. I don't know whether I should do anything more tonight or not.